Let's open our service with a word of prayer.
Heavenly Father, we give thanks for this congregation, and we are so thankful for all those who are here today. We'd ask that you be with those who are away and bring them back to us safely. We've had some blessings this week, and we've had some who have gone to your reward, and their families are hurting, so we ask that you be with them. And our prayer list seems to continue to grow. All of these people need your love, your compassion, and your tender arms around them during this time when they are struggling. Please be with Bruce as he brings the message to us this morning. And we give thanks for Caitlin as she returns to help us out with the service this morning. We pray all of these things in the name of your precious Son, Jesus. Amen. Yes, shall we gather at the river? This week I read a story about Billy Graham, and I thought I would share it with you this morning. It seems that he was being honored at a reception or a dinner, and so at the end of the dinner he got up to speak. And he said, I have this story to tell you. It's about Albert Einstein. He was on a train at one time, and he saw the conductor coming down the aisle taking tickets, punching the tickets. And he frantically started looking for his ticket. Well, Einstein couldn't find it. It wasn't anywhere in no pocket. He just couldn't find it. But the conductor came up and he said, it's all right. I know who you are and I know that you must have bought a ticket, so it's fine. You don't have to show me your ticket. Conductor went on taking tickets. And as he started to leave the car, he looked around and there was Albert Einstein on the floor of the train looking again and frantically, you know, searching. The conductor went back and said, it's all right. You do not have to do that. Well, Einstein said, yes, I do. I don't know where I'm going. And I'll end with this, because Billy Graham then said that he had on a new suit that his kids made him buy, and he was going to wear it twice, once for this luncheon or dinner, and the next time for him to be buried in. But he said, unlike Albert Einstein, I know where I'm going. All right, let's stand and sing to God's majesty this morning.
For the congregation. Heavenly Father, come quiet our hearts from life's distractions. Settle down upon us. Draw near to us as we draw near to you. You, O Lord, are our creator of all things. You hold all things together. You are the giver of life. Every good and perfect gift comes from you. You give us everything we need for life and godliness. You are preparing a place for us that we will live in forever. Our words are not adequate to express how our hearts have been changed since you came into our life. You made all the difference in our lives. We love you, we praise you, we give you thanks for your unending love for us. There isn't anything in us or about us that you don't understand. You know us completely, and if we were honest with you, you know we would need to admit our weakness and ask forgiveness for all the things we've done wrong this week. We can't rescue ourselves. We can only hope that you will rescue us. Lord, we confess the busyness of our schedules and leave the leftovers for you. Would you, in this moment, give us the courage to push away all the busyness and help and the things that make us too busy to identify with you? We confess our critical attitudes that leads us away from contentment and gratefulness. Cleanse us from being critical and put a spirit of love in our hearts, please. We confess that half-hearted devotion that leaves us weak. Guide us to read your word every day. Show in the knowledge of your will. Give us spiritual wisdom and understanding. We confess that the fear that we secretly carry that cripples us in many ways. Save us from the great opposer, Satan. We confess the sin that holds us back from being really truly free. Set us free from the sin that grips our hearts. Thank you for being our friend. Thank you for never leaving us or forsaking us. Thank you for being our teacher and showing us the way we should go. Thank you for solving our problems when we come to you in prayer. Thank you for being our protector and helper that hands us. Thank you for being our Savior and rescuing us from our sin. Lord, we do also want to remember the people in the military that they are serving and in danger. Please protect them, give them courage for their jobs, and protect them from harm. We love them so and for their service. Please thank you for this day. We praise you for this day you've given us. It is a wonderful, beautiful day, and we give you praise for it. In Jesus' name we pray, in Jesus' name, in his word, amen.
Our scripture this morning, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. Love is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails, but whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I am. I also am known. And now abide faith, hope, love, these three. But the greatest of these is love.
And now we show our love for our Lord by giving back to him some of what he has given to us as we give our tithes and our offerings. Let's stand and sing the doxology together.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow.
We lift our offerings up to you, O Lord, in thankfulness for the gifts that you have given to us. Amen.
I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore. Buried deeply stained within, seeking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry. From the waters lifted me, now safe am I. Love lifted even me, love lifted me.
Love.
Thank you. The Eagle Bend Quartet. Very good. A Peanuts cartoon shows Lucy standing there with a very stern look on her face, as she always was. Charlie Brown pleads, "Lucy, you must be more loving. The world needs love. You have to let yourself love to make the world a better place." Lucy whirls around and knocks him down. She screams at him, "Look, blockhead, the world I love, people I can't stand." Well, I'm sure that we feel that from time to time, don't we? Come to think of it, maybe some of us feel that way right now. We like the world, but you know, certain people there are not too good. Well, loving people around us can be a major challenge, and that is the essence of 1 Corinthians 13 that David read. Thank you, David. We're going to look very carefully at the very small part of 1 Corinthians 13, that chapter is verses 4 to 7. We need to know what love is and what it means for us in the nitty-gritty of life. And the nitty-gritty of life is every day, what happens to us every day. There's a sense in which love is difficult to define but easy to describe. You know, I looked up the word love in the dictionary, and there were 18 definitions of love, and after reading 18 definitions, I didn't feel any more loving. You know, love, you know it when you see it. It's better seen and acted rather than defined. Well, it's not really a feeling, it's an action. But as I study 1 Corinthians 13, it stresses upon actions, not upon personal feelings. Paul is talking about what's demonstrated in life. Love might start off as a feeling of compassion or pity, or among young people about lust, but it never ends there. I mean, one of the crown jewels of Scripture, Paul writes in the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians, an eloquent description of love, spiritual gifts. The Apostle Paul begins to look and show you what love is all about, but he doesn't start with really positive things. He starts with negatives. Love is not. You know, many people think that that's one of the most beautiful pieces of poetry in all of Scripture. In fact, this was read at our wedding 20 years ago. How many here have had 1 Corinthians 13 read at their wedding service? Tom Wirtz did. I know somebody else did. Who else was it? Somebody said to me this morning that 1 Corinthians 13 was read at their wedding. Well, I guess not. Well, okay, we're going to get into it. So tighten your seat belts. It's going to get rough. It's going to get fast. It's going to get prodded you into a new way of living. Well, there are 11 descriptions found in these chapter in the verses 4 through 7. Telling us what love is not, as if to say, let me tell you that what isn't so you can't be mistaken about it. First of all, love is patient. They said, love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. King James Version says, love suffereth long. It is never tired of waiting. The Greek word means long-minded. Think of that. Think of long-minded. That's interesting. Love is slow to give into resentment, despair, anger. That means being patient with difficult people. It describes a person who has been wronged. We have people in our congregation who have been married 70 years or plus, don't we? I see them out there, but I'm not going to point them out. You know, that's 25,000 plus days that they've been together. That's a lot of days. It's a lot of doing life, isn't it? And sometimes it ain't easy. Remember that Jesus said our time on earth is not going to be easy, but it'll be worth it. Jesus told us, in the world you will have trouble. Then he added, but take heart, I have overcome the world, in John 16:3. During the early days of the Civil War, Edward Stanton was an outspoken criticizer of Abraham Lincoln. He held Lincoln in contempt. Stanton was a military man, calling him a gorilla and a cunning clown. Although he knew about the slanders that Stanton had against Lincoln chose him as one of his top advisors in the world in the war effort. Lincoln chose Stanton. When asked why, Lincoln said, well, simply because he's the best man for the job. Then after Lincoln was assassinated in 1865, Stanton stood weeping over the casket of Lincoln and declared, there lies the greatest ruler of men the world has ever seen. Patient love won in the end. Secondly, love is kind. You know, the word means something like sweet usefulness. Love is quick to reach out to others and to those in need. Mark Twain called kindness the language that the deaf can hear and blind can read. He's absolutely right. The language of love is kind. It's a universal language. The rich, the poor, the old, the young can understand it, both male and female. It doesn't speak to the intellect, but to the feelings, to the heart, to the inner soul. Thirdly, love does not envy. This is the sin of those who think others have too much and they have too little. By contrast, love is generous. It doesn't begrudge anybody else or the gifts that they have. It says, wow, you are so blessed. I've heard that so many times. That's a true word of kindness. It's a true word of lack of envy. You are blessed with what you have and use it in the best way you can. Can you lose gracefully? Can you walk away from a contest without bitterness? Golfers, can you lose a golf match? Yeah, I say very often, Betty said, how'd you do? Well, I said, there are three things in golf. The golf, the weather, and the company. Two out of three is not bad, the weather and the company. The golf wasn't too good, but the weather and the company were great. So that's part of lack of envy, that you can just enjoy what you have. How will you respond when an inferior sort of person comes in contact with you? How are you going to act towards that person? The fourth thing in this scripture is love does not boast. It does not brag. It's not pompous or conceited. It has no exalted opinion of itself. It's not eager to gain the applause of others. The Greek word is very interesting. The Greek word means windbag. The Greek word is windbag. It has the idea that the person must continually talk about themselves in order to gain attention. Sometimes we would be better off and saying nothing at all. One time there was a turtle. He wanted to go to Florida for the winter, or Arizona, wherever a lot of us go. How many go to Arizona for the winter? How many go to Florida? Not too many. How many? A lot of people go nowhere. But this turtle wanted to go to Florida, so he recruited two geese. And the geese said, I have a good idea. We'll tie a rope between us and we'll fly to Florida. And you, with your very strong jaws, can grab a hold of the rope and we'll fly you all the way to Florida. Well, he clamped his jaws on the rope in the center of it and flew off. Until someone on the ground looked up in admiration and said, who in the world thought of that? What a great idea. And unwilling to not take the credit, the turtle opened his mouth and said, me. Turtle soup. Sometimes it's a good idea to keep your mouth shut. Don't boast. Fifth, love is not proud. The King James Version said, love is not puffed up. It's not filled with hot air. It doesn't have an inflated opinion of itself. You know, the truly great people that I have met in my life really seem pretty ordinary, don't they? They act like real people. They're just very down to earth, and that's so true. I think of Billy Graham, and he's in his 90s now with Parkinson's and really having a tough time, but he is just a really ordinary guy. He never took a big salary. He just had enough money to get by and to be comfortable. But he led a ministry of millions. Six, love is not rude. King James says, love does not behave itself unseemly. That covers a lot of territory. Rudeness happens so often, and that's something difficult that we have to work with, something that we would be ashamed of. Love is true courtesy. It's polite. It's considerate. It's careful about the needs of others, and it looks into the lives of other people to say, what is going on with you? Love is quick to make others feel at ease. Love is good manners. One writer sums it up by saying, love is a courtesy. Courtesy is love in little things. You don't have to say everything that you're thinking. Sometimes sarcasm is the main evidence of lack in this area, lack of being rude. How many times do we say, well, I'm just kidding? You know, you say something comes out of your mouth, you can't get it back, can you? Once it gets out there, St. James says, your tongue is like a viper. Once you say it, it's hard to bring it back. Seventh, love is not self-seeking. Love never says, it's my way or the highway. Love takes into consideration other people. Love says, let's do it Jesus' way. Love serves and doesn't worry about who gets the credit. Doesn't matter who gets the credit as long as Jesus is served. Eighth, love is not easily angered. It's a quality, and I always stop and think about when I read this chapter. Love is not easily angered. Love is not easily provoked. It's not quick-tempered. Doesn't blow its top. It's not easily angered. It's not irritable. Not cranky. Especially in the late evening. By contrast, love is good-natured, easygoing, and quick to forgive. Well, you know, some people say, well, that's just the way I am. Well, no, it isn't. Bring Christ into your heart, and you'll be different. You know, some people excuse their bad temper by saying, sure, I lose my temper a lot, but it's over in a few minutes. So is a nuclear bomb, over in a few minutes. Great deal of damage can be done in a short time. These temper bombs can really hurt. Don't shoot first and ask questions later. Ninth, love keeps no record of wrong suffered. King James says, it thinketh no evil. Don't keep record. Doesn't take into consideration wrong suffered or make a list. Many people keep mental lists of the slights and the problems that they've had throughout their life and never forget it. They let the past shape their future, and what a loss that is, because the future should have its own shape. It should take a different shape. True love has a bad memory of things done to it. It has a delete key that's used a lot. You know, the words delete on the key, it's worn out because it's been used so much. I'm putting it in the past. I'm not going to bring it up again. The tenth thing in this chapter is that love does not delight in evil. You know, love never likes bad things happen to other people, especially those that you don't like too much. Well, love doesn't say, well, they finally got what they deserved. No, that's not love. Love is never happy to see a brother or a sister fall into sin or fall into the pit. Love doesn't not enjoy passing along bad news or talking about other people. We know that the good news is on page 75 and the bad news is on page 1 in our newspapers. We like to see the juicy gossip in the checkout stands in the supermarkets. You know, the tabloids. I never look at them, of course. Well, I don't. Well, yes, I do. How can you not? All right. True love isn't like that. It turns away from cheap gossip and unsubstantiated rumors. Don't talk about people about them. On the 11th, love rejoices with the truth. Love takes joy in what's true and good and what's positive in our life. Love cheers about the truth coming out first. Love believes the best, love is happy when the verdict is not guilty. How can we live this way? How can we truly live without envy? How can we truly live without a quick temper? How can we truly live without seeking our own interests, without thinking of others? We can't. We can't do that on our own. That's for sure. We can't just go out there and say, let's give it the old college try and make a better day. We'll never talk ourselves into loving like this. Sooner or later, we have to get down to the bottom of things and really change our life. Maybe a prayer like this. You can just listen to this prayer if you'd like to pray with it with me, you can. But this is a prayer that maybe that would help a lot of us. Oh, God, help me. I don't love enough right now. And even though no one else knows or sees it, I am an angry person filled with bad thoughts and completely lacking in any kind of love. If you don't help me, I will never love anyone else because I know on my own I can't change the way I am. Oh, Lord God, please help me. Change me. Let your love flow through me. If you want me to love others, you're going to have to do it through me because I can't do it myself. That's the kind of prayer that God loves to answer, giving yourself up to him. Look to Jesus. Stand next to him. Let his love fill your heart. It'll change you completely. You'll find yourself lifted with supernatural love. This 13th chapter of Corinthians, you can understand it and be filled with love. Think about them one by one next week, all 11 points. How do you measure up? How do you measure, Bruce? How do I measure up? Where are you strong and where are you weak? What are three qualities that really stand out as positives and three qualities that stand out negatives in your life? And there's another assignment. Wow, it's becoming like high school honor class or medical school, right? Another assignment. And that is to put your name in this chapter, verses 4 through 7, like this. Replace the word love with yours. For example, Bruce suffers long and is kind. Bruce does not envy. Bruce does not parade itself. Bruce is not puffed up. Bruce does not behave rudely. Bruce does not seek its own. Bruce is not provoked. Bruce thinks no evil. Bruce does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Bruce bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. Now take that and put your name in there and see how it fits. See how it hits your heart. Make these words part of your life, and you'll find love becoming a daily reality as you grow in love with Christ. And now may God help us love and live in love and grow in love this week. In Jesus' name, amen.
I would like to share these words that are out of the 103rd Psalm. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve, or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. And now let's join in singing Our Father's Love.
To the lowest hell.
And now as we celebrate the Lord's Supper, we remember that Jesus Christ, in the night in which he was betrayed, met with his disciples in the upper room for the Passover Supper. Sitting down with them, he took the bread and he broke it, blessed it, and gave it to them and said, "Take and eat, this is my body which is given for you. Eat all of it in remembrance of me." Then after they finished eating, he took the cup and he blessed it and said, "This is my blood which is shed for you for the remission of sins. Drink all of it in remembrance of me."
As we get ready to leave today and enjoy this beautiful day that the Lord has given us, it's hard to believe that we're in the autumn season and it's no longer summer, especially with the warm weather. I suppose there's some kind of a game some of you might be interested in tonight, but be sure you go out and see that lunar eclipse. That's going to be really something. All right, this song, as we typically do this, we go around and shake hands for our brothers, to our brothers and our sisters, and welcome them into our family. So stand, and we will sing the servant song.
Brother, sister, let me serve you. Let me be as Christ.
Great. It's great that we have such a welcoming church and friendly.
And now, may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.